Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, and pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. If I can't get it on my own, if you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. Hasten, this is the third show today. Fucking air, still hot. I'm sweating. If this is because I called you bus boy all night last night, still worth it. Piece of shit. Thank you to Live Oak. I love you guys. TabX. Everybody that's listening to me right now, please go download TabX on your phone. Deep Eddie's Vodka. Thank you so much. And all of our sponsors. With me on this episode is somebody I very much like. Foreign Wallen. Is what a lot of people call him. Mr. Chris Anducci. I always say your last name wrong, though.
Yeah. Anducci. With an R, Anducci.
Well, whatever, how the fuck you say it, I don't fucking care.
If I get too drunk, I can't say it either, so.
Well, it's okay. God, I hate hearing you talk. It's so cool. Now that it's actually being recorded, too, it's going to piss me off when I go back and hear the sound bites. Because it's going to be like, why can't I do that? I sound like this, and you just get to fucking sing and sound like that.
It's a blessing and a curse.
You know what I found really cool the other night when I got you drunk as hell when you was on stage? Southerners are really bad. The drunker we get, we slide into our draw more. I've not heard you sing before, and you slid into your accent.
Did I do that on
you
Monday
started,
night?
Yeah, you started sliding into your accent, and I've never heard you do that.
I think I was exhausted and also pretty drunk, and that happens. I'm pretty good at being like on my best behavior up there most of the time, but that was a fun night Monday night.
It was. Well, I remember before you even went on stage and we was outside when we was watching Ernest thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I'm having a good time. And I was like, aren't you finna go play? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, we went out. We met at like 7, me and my buddies. And I usually just stick to beer and Jameson. Yeah. But for some reason, I was like, yeah, I'll have a Roxport tequila and soda. And I had like 3 of them. And I forgot to eat dinner.
Yeah,
so that'll do it. The Glasgow in me came out from back home, you know.
The what?
The Glasgow. It's the city, like the city I grew up in.
Oh, okay.
Glasgow, you call it Glasgow.
Okay. I don't know the fuck you're saying.
I knew this was going to be a shit show.
I love this. No, because I don't know much about like your backstory anyway. Mm-hmm. I've got to become friends with you over the past year or two since, mm-hmm. you know, just seeing you at Losers and us running in the same circles and everything. But I really don't know shit about your backstory or whatever. So I don't know about Glasgow or what the fuck you just said. And plus, be honest with you, I'm usually hammered when I'm around you. and I only understand every other word you say. So this will be a learning experience for me and the listeners.
I love that.
So kind of give them a little bit of detail, a little bit about you real fast.
I'm originally from a place called Ayr in Scotland, A-Y-R.
Okay.
It's on the southwest coast. There's only fucking 6 million people in Scotland. See, when you say that to Americans, they're like, what the fuck? Because it's tiny. Okay. But we've somehow managed to put like a big imprint on a lot of the world.
Yeah.
So like I've lived abroad since I was like 19. Like I've just liked to travel. And
how old are you?
I'm 26. I'm 27 in November. I've just always loved to get away. And it's not that I don't like Scotland or I don't like my family and friends back home. I do, but
I fucking hate mine. I get it.
But like I got to like recreate my whole life and like set up the life that I wanted to. So long story short, I went to business school in Scotland in Glasgow in the city, and in my third year, we did an exchange program, and they were like, "Where do you want to go?" And I was like, "Fuck, I'd love to go to America," but I didn't get a choice, so I just put this like somewhere in the south. It was Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Greensboro, and. It was like, I've never experienced American life like that. It was like a proper movie, you know, like.
You met a blonde from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yeah, there was fraternities. I didn't know what the fuck a fraternity was. Like, we just went to house parties, you know, back home.
We just call them whores.
There was a lot of interesting people that met there. But I fell in love with America and the South. And I always did music.
Yeah.
But I never knew. Growing up the way I did, I never knew you could make a living like I do now. But long story short, I got a job after college, in Georgia, in Canton, Georgia.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And I worked there for like half a year maybe. And I was like, I love Georgia, but it was just like, it's a small town, there wasn't much going on. All the bars closed at like 10 o'clock. I'm from Scotland, I like to drink, I like to make
you
a
don't
fill
say.
Of myself. And I just started driving up to Nashville, and that's kind of how I got here. And it's been about 3.5-4 years now since I've been here. So,
were you playing music down there?
I played a little bit. I played at J. Michael's Steakhouse or something. It was like a steakhouse I played.
What city in Georgia?
Canton. Yeah, like near like Alpharetta.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I would have never figured you lived down there.
It's
you would have been so close to me.
I know. But that's the thing. Like, so many people up here are from Georgia or from around the area. When I say it, they're like, why the hell were you in Canton?
Well, I'm 2 hours south of there, but still. Like, I would have just not figured you would have ended up down there.
Do you prefer Georgia to Tennessee?
Yeah, I wouldn't live here.
Yeah.
I like actually being from a little farm town.
Mm-hmm. Like, how many people are in your town?
I would literally say we got less than 10,000 people that live where I live.
There's like 60,000 in my hometown, which is quite big.
Yeah, that's very small where I live. I love it though. This is just too much for me.
I think if I was to be asked that question like now, is like, do you see yourself forever living in Tennessee, like in Nashville? Like, I don't know. Like, I think if I make my money and progress with my career the way and the trajectory it's going, I'm not saying I would move back to Scotland because there's not much going on for me there. But like, somewhere in North Carolina. But the thing is, I grew up on the coast, right? So I could walk to the beach. Okay, albeit it's a Scottish beach. It's cold as shit. But like, and rainy and Martin, the water's all muddy and shit.
Yeah, I've never seen a Scottish beach, but I'm just imagining it's probably not.
It'll get to
probably
like,
not Panama City.
No, it gets to like 60 degrees in Scotland. Oh, no, like there's people just like shirtless at the beach and like sunbathing. I'm like, dude, that's.
And they probably all look like me. So.
Yeah, they're chalk white. Like this is me tanned right now. I'm like a quarter Italian as well. I got all the Scottishness.
It's just too much for me here. And plus, I would die. If I lived here, I would die. I don't even like drinking that much. I drink, don't get me wrong. I have a good time. But there's
if I believe that.
There's other shit for me to do at home where I can have a good time.
Without
drinking. Here, there's nothing I can do that doesn't involve drinking.
After my first year here, I didn't notice like a change, like, I didn't have a problem, but I started to notice like tendencies and stuff. And it took me to a point where I was like, I don't want to be fuck it all up. You know, I just moved here. So, but the problem is, you know, as a writer, as a songwriter, you go to the office, there's always a beer or a liquor bottle there if you want it. And for the longest time, it'd be a Monday, you're a little hungover from going out on the Sunday. Okay, I'll grab a beer. And then you write a song, or let's go to Red Door, or let's go for lunch or something. And then before you know it, all your plans are maybe going to the gym or doing something that wasn't involving alcohol. It's 5 o'clock and you're like, oh, well, fuck it. We'll just stay out and keep drinking. Yeah. Now everybody's off of work.
It's real weird to me how when I'm home, I can come up with something, an excuse to not drink real quick. Mm-hmm. But here, it's like I just look down and there's a drink in my hand. Don't even know how it got there sometimes.
You could do it, but the thing is, though, you could go out every single night for however long you could afford and survive to do.
Well, I like having a good time. Like, I think, and there's always something here. And I love music so much. And just love being a part of just live music. And it's every night I get to go see somebody like you play. Or, like, we're going to see Emma Zink in a little bit. Or we saw Carlisle on Monday.
I saw she did a showcase.
Oh, my God, it was so good.
She's awesome.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. Like, there's always something. Or, like, my show last night. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always something. Where I'm from, there's shit to do. I'm so glad that I live in a boring-ass little town to where there's nothing to do.
Well, it's like you can keep on, like, a good routine.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I go through phases. I've been like, all right, like, eat clean, get back to the gym. Like, and I'll notice a change. Like, my skin will look more healthy. Like,
yes.
I'm like, I look 26 rather than 34, like everybody thinks I am. Yeah. I'm like, but it kind of comes just with the lifestyle. Like, I always enjoyed to drink alcohol. I grew up from Scotland, right? Everybody fucking drinks here. Like, I drank since I was like 14.
Yeah.
And it's when I come here on stage and I'm trying to have a day off, or like, it's like a Monday and I'm like, I'm not drinking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at my gigs. And there's always, you know, people come from out of town, like you guys or other people, and they're like, I just have one. Or like, I have one. And then before you know it, I'm
That's
like,
the biggest
yeah,
lie
I know. Well, I know I try and say that, but before I know it, I'm like, fuck, I've drank again and I didn't want to. So it's just all about balance though. Like, and I've learned that, and I've seen people fuck it all up in this town as well. And I've also seen people almost lose it all and figure it out as well, which is amazing to see.
I think, though, too, being like you as a songwriter and singer, too, I think it's part of it that almost fuck it up. I think you almost have to. I've heard some of this, like, I love your music, too. Like, I think that's where inspiration comes from, is the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling, like, one of our clips from our show on Tuesday that rock bottom teaches you way more than the mountaintop ever can. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't write a great sad song or a great, just a lyric if you ain't lived it.
No, totally. And I think people nowadays, they see through the shit. So if you're trying to, like, when I first started coming here, I was writing about certain things and I was like, okay, they know I'm not that southern.
Yeah.
Like, I'm from south of Scotland, but I'm like, I'm not. So, like, there are certain things in my songs that I wouldn't say, because I think people will be like, it's not authentic enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just,
yeah, if you were to sing me a song about hunting and fishing, I'd probably tell you to fuck yourself.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, not going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I do believe in that. Like, I think if you almost lose everything, I do think there's something to be said. Because when I first moved here, I would go to, like, every writer's round in town. Like, just shaking hands, drinking beers, and trying to get on and play. But what I started to notice was there was trends, and every now and then there's, like, a hit writer will randomly play it, like, the local, you know, like Jeffrey Steele or somebody. And I can't remember who it was, but this guy, he was telling the story about the song. He's like, yeah, my wife left me. 2 days later, I lost my publishing deal and I was about to go, like, bankrupt.
And here's the number one out
and
of it.
And he goes, what happened was we wrote this song a year, two or three years before it.
Yeah.
And he was just about to, like, he was, like, depressed as fuck. And all of a sudden he got a phone call. They were like, I'm the number one artist right now in the country music is going to record it. And his whole life got changed, and now he's like, I'm like, that's what a story that is. But you learn so much from, like, the dark times. And I think what a lot of people that don't live in Nashville see is, like, all the good times on Instagram. Like, oh, yeah, we're on a podcast today, or we're on the lake on Sunday drinking and jumping off a cliff. But, like, they don't see, like, I'm exhausted 24/7. Like, I work my fucking ass off. I have a great time, but I'm, like, it's a job, 100% a job.
They don't see the work you put in. Nobody ever sees nobody ever sees how the sausage gets made. They just want to eat it.
I've never heard that saying before.
I'm serious. They don't. But nobody gives a shit. Like, it's they don't. They don't care. They don't understand how, like, you will sit there and you'll play a 4-hour show, what, 3 or 4 nights a week?
I do 4 days with the band and 1 day acoustic.
Yeah.
So 5 days a week.
So you're fucking 20 hours a week almost.
Plus writing and plus trying to have a social life as well. Yeah. Like my voice is pretty shot today. Yeah. Like if I tried to sing, it would be like rough.
Yeah, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, and it's everything. And then you have to network outside of that. Like you never stop. Mm-hmm. They don't care about that. All they see is those clips on social media. And they're like, oh, they're just living their best life.
I mean, what a cool life.
I mean, we are. I mean, it is. Don't get me wrong.
I'm very blessed to do real job, you know?
I will say this, and people just don't understand it. I will almost bet you, if you were to add up the hours that you are working, like actually putting in work for you to succeed, or me, it's more than a 40-hour week.
100%.
Yeah, people don't get it.
100%.
Even if we have a drink in our hand.
Yeah.
While we're doing what we're supposed to.
I just choose my job specifically, so I can have a drink.
We might be having more fun at our job, but we're still working.
Well, when I was in Georgia, at that desk job I had, I was working in aerospace, so I was in sales.
Yeah.
And I just, like, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with a normal job, right?
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, it's safe. You know, yeah. I don't have a 401k.
We talked about this on the show earlier. Yeah.
I don't have anything, like, yeah. I've got my savings, which I dip into sometimes. But what I saw was, like, 7 a.m. I was in the office, and I wasn't leaving till like, 5:36. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's just whatever. But then I started to look at the guy that was my boss, and I was like, he's fucking miserable.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. So I was 19 or 20 at the time. I'm like, I don't think I can do that for another 40 years.
Well, I'm a firm believer, dude. We were not put here to work 40 hours a week. We were not put on this earth to work a job. I know that sounds stupid. You were put here to chase your dreams. Mm-hmm. You're sit here to, like, define what you are passionate about and pursue it. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, you only have one life. You don't get another chance at this. Why would you not, at least while you're young enough to do it?
I think I always got to remind myself how, like, blessed we are to be able to do what we do. But you're right. I think the fine line is, like, you don't want to mess it up, because it's so easy to get a little bit too much of the party going or whatever. But as long as you're making money and doing what you love and progressing and not getting caught up in drinking drugs and, like, there's no reason why you can't have a cool life just because you're maybe not number one on the radio. Like, I've got multiple friends that are so successful, and that's...
Well, I was telling the guy that I was doing the show with earlier, Brandon, it depends on what you define as success. Mm-hmm. If success to you is a bank account, you're probably going to come up short right
100%.
Now. 100%. Yeah, don't define your success by your bank account, by your friends, by your happiness, by what you have going on.
Yep.
Like, if you're content and you're happy and you're getting to do what you want for a living, that's more than almost everybody else on the fucking planet. That's successful.
Because they're just waiting for those, like, 2 weeks vacation that they get every year. Yeah. Like, that's their, like, happiness where
we kind of live a vacation.
We did. Like, I fly home on Saturday for a week to play some gigs in the UK.
Yeah.
I'm going to Vegas. I've never been to Canada before. We're going next month.
Why the fuck are you going to Canada?
We got booked for this shit, but I don't know. It's just, like, it's a show, but I don't know. I like to go to new places, but I've heard it's a shit show up there right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't go.
Well, is America not trying to, like, buy it? Make it the other state?
I hope we don't. I don't like Canadians. Canadians?
Canadians.
Canadians.
Yeah, they talk kind of funny. I mean, it's funny. That's rich coming for me.
Yeah,
but
let's watch where we're going there, bud.
I actually get Canadian a lot. Like, between Australia and Canadian is what I get a lot. But I think, like, when people are trying to work out my accent. But I do believe it's because I've kind of been, like, southernized a little bit. I call it scuthern.
Yeah, no.
No.
Not at all. No. I would not even kind of go that far. I'm ready for us to go on that. I know you didn't mention this with places you're going, but that cruise.
Music City Set Sail.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with that guy.
Yeah.
We're going to die.
We're selling quite a lot of cabins now. There was two girls downtown that I bumped into last night. Yep. They were like, we're coming. And I was like, all right, cool.
There was people at the show last night that was like, we're definitely coming on that. We just haven't bought cabins yet.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's going to be wild. I'm excited. Have you ever done a cruise before?
I've never, ever been on one. I'm scared, to be honest with you.
I feel like I'm going to be
I don't like deep water. I've watched Titanic too many times. I have not told anyone this. I am petrified of it. And also, going to have to be on a boat with Rob the whole fucking time.
Oh, God.
I'm going to throw him the fuck over.
Either that or I'll throw myself off.
Yeah. You give me some fucking floaties.
Oh, God. I can just picture every time we walk past the railing, I'm just going to be,
yeah.
She give you a shake.
Well, I just already know he's going to be walking around. He's going to have fucking Fireball trunks on the whole fucking time with a ball of Fireball. Be like, hey, you want a Fireball shot? And I'll be like, no, fuck, Rob, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't want a Fireball shot.
I don't know. Like, I think it's just going to be, the good thing is there's only 2 shows each per artist, I think. Yeah. So.
I don't know. I don't even know.
I don't know either, but I think it's going to be a real good time.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should have asked, with me hosting it, what my priorities were.
Yeah,
what's my obligations?
What's your job description for the job?
Yeah, I just now realized with you saying that there was
I've not seen shows. There's no contract yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I haven't done. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, I need to talk to Rob. Yeah. I didn't think about this till right now.
I know. He's going to have you up there in like a suit, like a sports coat.
He will not. No, fuck, he will not.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a suit coat. You won't. Sport coat.
I will be at my funeral. No, I won't even be wearing that then. No, that's going to be fun. I'm scared that somebody's going to prison.
Yeah, I feel like, well, there's different rules in international waters, right? Like, there's different laws.
Oh, yeah, we can kill Rob.
So we can kill Rob.
Yeah, kill Rob.
We can and then steal his money and gamble it at the casino on the cruise.
We can beat the fuck out of Rob and not get in trouble.
And drink his Fireball.
I'm not drinking that fucking Fireball. He gives me one. This is what he does every time. And by the way, we'll have to tell him the shot story from the other night in just a minute. Every time I'm around him, he never stops giving them to me. But he makes me feel like a bitch because I won't take the first one. And he's always like, oh.
It tastes terrible.
It's the fucking worst.
I did one with him last night, and the whole time I was just like, like for the next hour. Like.
But once I do one with him, then he just keeps bringing them back.
It's just like syrup.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And he drinks it like he sweats. Don't mean to call him out here, but he was sweating the other day, and I was like, did you smell Fireball?
Yeah, he literally smells like fucking cinnamon.
Like, I swear if you licked his arm, he could probably get drunk.
You probably... I just threw up in my mouth. I thought about it and how clammy it would be. It'd be like thick and syrupy. Speaking of that, you made me find my new party trick on Monday night when I brought you that...
That tequila.
Yeah. Well, everybody thinks, because I haven't even been drinking tequila lately, because I kind of switched everything up to where, like, I'm drinking those Good Boys or I'm drinking Deep Eddies, just mostly Deep Eddies now. But before that, all I would drink is, like, tequila shots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, usually when I'm taking an artist a shot, looks like tequila. And I was like, you know what would be really funny? Because I hate Rumplemints. I fucking hate Rumplemints. I was like, Rumplemints kind of looks like tequila. And Chris looks like he's fucked up. I bet he won't smell it.
I didn't smell it.
I know you didn't.
And it was busy, and I just took it down. It wasn't until I swallowed it that I was like, oh my God, that was fucking Rumplemints. You know, they don't have that back in the UK.
Really? Probably outlawed. Yeah. It needs to be outlawed everywhere.
The worst shot I think I've ever done is, what's it called? It's from Chicago at Malort.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
If we're out tonight, I'll buy you one at Red Door.
No, you won't, because just the way you looked when you said it.
So I very rarely black out. Like, it happens from time to time,
yeah,
you know.
Me
but,
too.
But, like, but
I've done it three times this week.
Welcome to Nashville. But I was, so it's funny. So the other Scottish guy that I'm talking about, Callum Kerr, we didn't know each other 2 years ago, but we met at Tin Roof one night and we connected, and he's like, let's grab a beer on a Monday night at, so we went out, just the two of us, getting to know each other. And we go to Red Door, and it was dead. It was kind of in the winter time. And there was this chick there with, like, a shaved head, like, kind of like a biker-looking chick. But she was hot, but, like, also, like, would beat your ass. And I was kind of, like, so intrigued. I just kept staring at her.
It sounds like my top, to be honest with you.
No, dude, I've never seen a woman with, like, a shaved head, but it was, like, awesome.
Yeah.
She came over, obviously saw us talking and looking at her. And she was like, can I buy you? You guys, I'm from Chicago. You guys should do a shot on the Lord. And I'm like, fucking yeah. One, I don't even know what it tastes like. It's more like, to describe it, maybe like paint stripper or something like that. Like, it's terrible. And we did one, and I was like, it's like burning, going down. And an hour passes, well, let's just do another one. We did 2 beers and 2 shots, and I was blackout. It blew the fucking head off me. So I'd love you to try it because looks like it could also almost pass for like a whiskey. So I'm going to use your party trick back on you, boy.
You ought to. You ought to. Was it clear?
It's more like a whiskey. It's like a light whiskey. But I don't know what it is. I don't even want to Google it because it's scary.
Yeah, I'm just you saying it.
It's kind of got me.
Maloric?
Malort. M-A-L-L-O-R-T.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. That sounds fucking... This just sounds horrible.
Yeah, so...
What's the biggest difference? Because I don't know anything about where you're from. Mm-hmm. What's, like, some of the biggest differences from here to there? Like, United States to there?
So, I was actually thinking about this earlier. There's in Scotland specifically, like, when I grew up, like, see if you excelled in something apart from, like, soccer, like football, or like anything else that wasn't like a kind of popular thing to do. So like singing or being good in school or doing like something random that you were good at, you were kind of like considered like a try hard or a do gooder. And so what that's done is create this like culture of like mediocrity. Like everybody wants to like keep their head below water. Nobody wants to be like excelling in something. So I was like, I grew up in that culture. So when I first came over here...
To where nobody wants to be good at anything?
Yeah, like, it's fucking... It's just everybody just kind of, like... Wants to be kind of quiet. They just, like... Nobody wants to be, like...
I'd fit in so fucking good.
You look way more Scottish than me, to be fair.
Fuck yourself. I'm American, motherfucker.
But I, But when I came over here for college... I'll never forget, like, the first class I went into, like, everybody was putting their hands up to answer questions and shit, and I was like, and then, like, we went to the bars, and women were coming up and talking to guys and been super confident, and I was like, it took me, like, as a thing, like, culture shock. Like, I remember at college, they gave us leaflets, like, flyers that were, like, culture shock for international students, and I was like, shut up. But but it's quite a difficult thing to get over. Like, I was fine because I'd lived abroad before.
Yeah.
But that like, the confidence level of Americans, I think, is really... It's actually inspired me to be way more confident. People assume because of my job that I'm, like, a fucking egomaniac, like, love being the center of attention. I'm very introverted. Like, extroverted. I'm an extroverted... Extroverted.
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm not even drunk yet.
Yeah. That's what's crazy about me, and I know you're not going to believe this. I am probably the most insecure person you will ever meet.
Really?
Absolutely. I very like...
Do you have anxiety?
Oh, super bad.
I've kind of got that recently, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I am... Like, even when we, like, do our shows or whatever, like, here at Live Oak or whatever, like, it's so hard for me to be in any type of spotlight. Like, sitting, like, here one-on-one with you, completely fine.
Yeah.
Being in front of people, I am like a duck on a pond. Like, I can seem chill. My fucking feet are going, bruh. Like, I'm telling you, it does something to me.
It's a difficult thing, though. Yeah. Like public speaking and being the face of something. Like, especially because, if we talk about anxiety for a second, like, I never got it when I was younger. I didn't really know what it was. Yeah. Like, and then, obviously, the older you get, people were on medication in college and growing up. But it's such a random thing for me. It's like when it happens to me, it's like when I'm least expecting it. Like, I've probably had like a really chill weekend. I ain't been out partying, and I'll get to like a Monday night and there'll be like a busy crowd at Losers, and I walk in and I'm not drinking, and I'm like, all of a sudden, like, I play that show 260 dates a year, like of that gig, and like all of a sudden I'm like having a full-blown like weird thing.
I get it.
But it's quite cool. It's like how quickly you can also just once you start to do what you're good at, you settle, but that initial moment's like, it's hell.
Yeah, that's why I have to drink before certain things.
Yeah.
It calms me. And like, I don't take medication or anything for it, but I have to. Because I'm literally thinking of every bad thing that could go fucking wrong.
Stand up there and your jeans fucking fall down or something.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking of everybody here hates me. Like, I'm thinking of fucking the worst. Nobody's gonna show up.
Half the shit that goes wrong in... or that seems to be going wrong in like life is all in your head, though, most of it. Like,
yeah,
a lot of it is, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I always kind of, it helps me put myself at ease is everybody that's probably looking at me is having the same thoughts about themselves.
Yeah.
And if they're thinking that something's fixing to go wrong in their life too, then everybody's fucked.
I know.
Like, nobody's really giving a shit. Like, they don't really care that much is the point.
I think that's a cool thing about what we do as well, though, is like, because we talk about success for a little bit and what keeps you kind of going through like the peaks and troughs, the peaks and valleys. But like when it's a tough time for me and I'm like, I'm not maybe not progressing as much, I'll come in and play a gig and I'll have like one person in the crowd that's, you can just tell is like enthralled by what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe get a, it's like someone crying and they come up and say like, well, I lost my grandmother or my dad the other week there. And you know, that was his favorite song and thank you so much. And like, these are little wins for me along the way that it's like, even if I am feeling anxious or not really wanting to be there and you're just kind of going through the gears, these are little things that I'm like, wow, I've actually just made a difference to somebody's life because I sang a song or one of my songs.
Yeah, well, back in the day, I got interviewed for this magazine, and this guy asked me, he's like, how do you know you're, what, how do you ask it? Pretty much, how are you going to know that you made it? Like, what's that going to be a day? I was like, when I'm fucking rich, right? Like, that was my definition of it or whatever. And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, no, don't put that in there, please. And I was like, I want to change somebody's life. Like, I want to, if it's just one person, like, I something about mental health, because I don't want anybody to ever be at a dark point like I was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want it to be to where, like, I've helped somebody. My story, something that I do, somebody that I put on the podcast, them sharing their story, help somebody. Like, that's what I want it to be. And when you start looking at what you do as you have an opportunity, even if it's just singing a song, can brighten someone's day.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how you can help somebody instead of just making it on a chart, it life changes. Like, your perspective of what you're doing changes. You succeeding changes. And it honestly, it also takes pressure off of you. It allows you to make the art you want to make. It allows you to be the person you want to be and stop looking at numbers. I refuse to look at the numbers for me. I don't want, I post shit and move on my fucking day. Like, I post what I want to, I say what I want to, I put out the podcast that I want to, and I don't look at the numbers. When somebody tells me I'm doing well, I say thank you. Because if I look at that, then I equate myself to a number. I don't want to be equated to a number.
It's so hard to nowadays as well, because like everything is all, especially in the music industry, is linked to numbers. But what you said there kind of got me thinking, like, so for me, I think music's two things. It's a healer, like it heals things, but also on the other side, like my side, it's a drug. So it's like a drug and it's like the reason and the rhyme for it, you know?
Yeah.
But like, it is an addictive thing. Like when I get to writing, and let's say you go through a breakup or something, and growing up in Scotland, I don't know what it's like here, but like, guys don't talk. Like, we don't talk about anything. Yeah. Like, I'll go and hang out with my buddies that I've not seen for a year back home. We shoot the shit, get drunk, and I'll go home and my mum will be like, oh, so what's going on in their lives now? And I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, we just drank beer and shot the shit. And like, you actually, someone could be going through the darkest time ever and you don't know. And I've always recently been trying to ask a little bit more, you know? My point being is, like, when you go through something hard, when I write that song and I'm like, it's healing me, like, I'll leave the room and go, I feel like I might be getting over this, or maybe, and then you'll play it live and someone will be like, man, that's exactly what happened with me, my girl, or whatever. And it's like, it's so cool to see that. And that's, these are all, again, these little wins that through the tough times help.
It's therapy. It's therapy. That's the only reason why I write anything. Like, it's therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me. It's whatever I'm going through at the time, so I don't keep it bottled up.
Mm-hmm.
And back home, it's the same thing. Like, my buddies, they don't fucking talk. Like, they don't.
Why are guys like that? Is it like an old school stigma of like, we're men, we can't talk, you know? Like,
well, what's crazy is, like, me and you could sit here and have a heart to heart.
Yeah.
And most men up here sit here and have a heart to heart
because
we know we're not going to judge each other.
Yeah.
Because we're emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people in your hometown, they're okay with being emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Artists and creative people like us, we know you have to be emotional to succeed in this business.
100%.
So being vulnerable is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to look at me crazy if I'm being vulnerable in front of you, because you're going to have to be fucking vulnerable tomorrow more than likely.
Well, because 9 times out of 10, what's you think you're going through alone, someone else, or most other guys, or most other people have went through it too, or is going through it, or know somebody that's went
and
through
it. And we know that each other, more than likely, has done it.
Yeah.
Like, and we don't hold it against each other.
The older I get, the more I'm like, I look back at like past relationships and stuff, and like, the issue that I've always been told is that I don't talk enough. Like, yeah. I don't just express how I feel. And I'm like, now that I'm single again and like I'm looking back at past relationships, I'm like, dude, I should have just said from day one, or you know, a weekend or whatever, after things start to go a little bit wrong, hey, I'm not too happy about that, or I didn't appreciate that, blah blah blah, then just bottle up and then I snap and like,
yeah, well, you have to. The older you get, the more you realize is how you say it, it's just, that's all it is. It's like
it would be so easy to solve, like the issue. I probably would still be with my high school girlfriend if I knew how to
probably
talk.
probably not just for the simple fact that you're never, when you say stuff, it's still probably going to piss them off, but it's going to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff needs to be said,
mm-hmm.
and it's how you say it. Like, I've tried to communicate this with 1,000 different people. If you just did something really fucking stupid to aggravate me, mm-hmm. if I will take the time and I will word it correctly to you, and I say it in a way that is not hateful, it is not ugly, it is not mean, you're probably still not gonna like it and probably still gonna be mad at me. But I can know at the end of the day that I did it the right way, that I reacted the right way. I can't help how you're gonna react, but this says a lot about you. And it gets it off your chest in a healthy way.
And I think that shows like how grown like you are as a person as well. The fact that you can like control that way of speaking, because like the easy thing to do, especially if you're in a bar and something happens, to be like fucking hell, like, and react, and like, and that's where relationships just turn to shit, is when it gets nasty and toxic.
Hey, look, I used to have, if you'd have known me 5 years ago, I had the worst temper. Well, probably not that. My daughter was born in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter has calmed me down so fucking much anyway, right? But probably,
do you fight a lot?
I've thrown down, but you had to like really piss me off, right? But I still got these little moments. Like, I don't believe there's enough cowboys left, and I'm not technically a cowboy. Like, I'm a country boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I've always said for the majority of my life, like, people are supposed to live by like creeds or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love old mafia stuff, and I love all cowboy stuff, right? Because it's all about respect and understanding. Like, if you got a problem with me, talk to me like a man. We can probably solve it without fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. But if it comes down to it,
we will.
We can walk outside. We can kick each other's ass. Walk back in and buy a beer if that's what we got to do, right?
Yep.
And there's just not a lot of people that do that. And like, I've been trying for especially like over the past year more than anything to control my temper, because it doesn't do anything for you.
Especially in what we're trying to do as well. Like that's one thing that's like, calm me down. I was never much of a fighter, but like, I always had a loud mouth growing up. Like, I'd always like, I had bigger friends, so I was like, yeah, motherfucker, and then my friends would jump in. But obviously being over here, like, I'm not on a green card, I'm on a work visa. Like, I'm like, I've got to be so careful now. Like stupid things, like even just having like one more beer than you probably would have before you jump in the truck. Like, I'm petrified of doing that. Like, that, and like bars, because there is such a bar fight culture in America, and quite often you don't get arrested if you're just fighting, they'll just kick you out, you know?
Yeah.
So like, it's quite easy to get entangled into this, and then I'm like, fuck, if I get arrested one time or DUI or anything, I can stay here to the end of my visa. But what happens is, when I go to reapply for my next one, they're like, yeah, hey buddy, you're not coming back in, and then my whole life is out here. So it's really calmed me down. So it's been like a blessing in disguise, but it's also really scary. See, when they were doing the ice raids down here last weekend, were you here? Did you hear about that? So I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently ice came through downtown Nashville, Broadway.
Tell me about this.
And all the kitchens cleared out. So I'm at the local having a beer at night, and I was like, hey, can I put some food in? And Chris, the manager, was like, kitchens closed, were just to be safe, just in case anybody, because I think they're all legal there as well.
Yeah.
But like, he was just like making sure everybody was okay. And all of a sudden, I like went chalk white, and I was like, "He's like, you good?" And I was like, "I'm legally here too, but I don't know why I'm shitting myself." I was like, "I just got hella drunk after that." I was like,
"You know, this is gonna sound really shitty what I'm about to say. It would have been so fucked up, but it would have made my life, Chris, if you'd have been on stage at Losers and fucking ice busted
I
in
get
there
arrested.
And took your ass off."
Tell you what.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
That would be a sick TikTok.
It would. I actually want to go buy an ice jacket now.
Dude, that would, that's how I go viral.
I swear, I wish I could find a person who looked like they worked for ice and get them the jacket and then just get them to bust up in there. It would be the sickest,
that would be hilarious.
Meanest joke of all time. No, I get it, dude. Like, I know you have to watch yourself, but still, I'm a person now with my temper. I like to still prove points, like the other night at Losers, actually, when you were playing.
There's some drunk motherfuckers in there that'll piss me off.
There is. And there's just some people that don't know how to act. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a girl with us, and this guy walked past her, and he took his hand, and there's a lot of people in there, he took his hand, and he rubbed it across her ass as he was walking past her. She's looking at me, having a fucking conversation with me.
Oh, no.
And her face lights up, and you can tell the discouragement on her face. And
yeah.
She lives here. And it was almost like you could tell, like, she has to fucking deal with this shit all the time, right?
I mean, I can't imagine being, like, I've seen it. So, yeah. I see a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's
so
terrible.
I took my boot, and I kicked him square in the crack of his ass.
Yeah.
Like, I pushed her aside.
Your step toes?
Yeah. And I kicked him square in the fucking crack of his ass.
You should have.
And he turned around, and he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, you know what you did. And he was like, you want to go outside? And I was like, you don't want me to go outside with you. And I was like, plus, if I go outside with you, I'm going to kick your ass, and security's not going to let you back in.
Yeah.
I said, or I'm just going to get security to toss your ass out right now. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're not from here. Mm-hmm. I was like, so run your mouth if you want to. I would rather now, and this is just me being an asshole, I would rather now be like, hey, security, this guy's a piece of shit. Toss him out. Like, because I know they probably would.
No, 100%
yeah, right there. Yeah, they definitely would. So, like, it's where, like, you don't even have to fight. Like, if you're in the right, why not just handle it the right way?
That's the thing. Like, you get a black eye and you have to come and work the next day. Don't look good. You've got to go home to your daughter and shit.
Yeah, like, I don't want to explain that shit.
No, it's exactly. Yeah. Like, I got to wear sunglasses on stage and shit.
Yeah, fighting doesn't prove anything.
No.
I think
the culture has changed a lot. Like, when I grew up a lot, I'm sure it was the same in Georgia. Like, that was kind of the thing to do when you were younger. Like, you would just fight over stupid shit.
You think that it proves something. It doesn't. If you think of fighting as a rite of passage, it's not. Somebody could accidentally slip, fucking die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The horror stories of, you know, one punch and the guy hits his head off the curb and you're like, he's dead now or in a coma. And I'm like,
I don't.
Stupid.
No, I would rather use any type of influence I have at a bar with the owners or bouncers or whatever, and just be like, hey, that person's a piece of shit. Will you make them leave? I feel like it's a fuck you, and it's way better than me hitting you. Like, it's embarrassing that you have to get kicked out now.
What's like the scariest experience you've had in, like, since you've been, like, living?
Ooh.
I was thinking about this the other day, actually, as well.
It happened this week. I shit you not, it happened Sunday night. So when I got back to my Airbnb Sunday night, I pulled back up, and there was like 15 cop cars, like, blocking the alley to my Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And, one, I probably shouldn't have been driving. So when I pulled back up, it was like 15 cop cars blocking the alley.
You shit yourself.
I shit myself. But it was like a block away from where I was at. So I was like, fuck, I can drive. Don't drink and drive, kids. But I was real slick about it, so I just, like, pulled into a parallel parking spot and just left my truck there and then walked down the alley. Like, just stumbled down the alley. None of the cops thought to stop me. Mm-hmm. I get to my Airbnb, and I'd left the garage door open, but it was shut. I didn't think nothing about it because I was shit-faced. I opened my Airbnb, or I opened the door, and the inside door to the garage had been kicked off the hinges. It was laying in the floor.
Oh, shit. Someone broke in?
Yeah. It gets weirder. I was like, what the fuck? There's somebody in here. I'm fixing to get murdered.
Do you have your gun?
I didn't have it with me. I look and there's a note like right there, and it was from the police. The police had kicked my fucking door in. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I call it, and of course, thanks Nashville police, they don't tell me what's going on right away. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'm shit-faced. I don't want to walk up to the fucking 15 cop cars.
Well, because I could go south real quick.
Yeah. I'm thinking, they saw me get out of that truck. Mm-hmm. They're just dealing with something else right now. There's no way I'm fixing to walk my happy ass back over mm-hmm. there, right? Because somebody's going to be a smart ass and be like, I'm going to give him DUI. Mm-hmm. So I call the number, and I'm, like, crying. Like, I got tears coming out of my face. I'm like, I just want to go to bed. I'm drunk. Mm-hmm. There's somebody in this house. I'm going to get fucking murdered.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you got to deal with the yeah, like, and shit as well.
Yeah, so, like, I'm standing outside of the house, like, trying to get in touch with the police. And the operator's like, we're going to get someone to call you, sir. We're going to get someone to call you. Takes mm-hmm. them 10 minutes to fucking call me back. So, like, I call the Airbnb people while I'm waiting and, like, send them a picture of the citation thing or whatever. And, like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. They're like, let us know. Well, cop finally calls me. And he's like, sir, remain calm. This is what happened. There was red paint spilt in the garage floor.
And you said you left the
thing open. Well, where all the cops were, like, at the top of the alley, somebody had got shot. They took off running. They thought where the red paint was spilt in the garage.
Went into the house and he
went into the house because the garage door was fucking open. And then the police kicked in the fucking door on the house. Then they had to do a clean sweep of the house. So nobody was in there. But they left a fucking note. Instead of calling the owners of the Airbnb or anything like that and explaining that so they could get in touch with me. So my drunk titty baby ass shows up at 3 o'clock in the morning to the fucking door laying on the ground thinking a murderer's in there and I'm finna get killed.
That's actually very like bad policing.
It's horrible policing. And this is the worst part. They saw me walk down the goddamn alley into the house
and they didn't stop me.
And nobody stopped to be like, hey, we should tell that guy he ain't got a fucking door.
So in that scenario, does the Metro Police pay for the repair on the door?
They have to. I mean, I know that the Airbnb didn't charge me for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I've always wondered, like, because a lot of it is to do with their job, I get it, but that was unnecessary.
Yeah, kind of. And also, too, how the fuck do you not know red paint isn't blood?
Well, it probably dried paint as well. Like, it's stupid.
Very old paint. Like, I looked at it when the next morning, I was like,
didn't even look anything like
that. Not even kind of.
That's wild.
But if y'all would have heard me on the phone with the 911 operator.
I bet we can get that recording somewhere. We got to find it.
I was like, I don't know what to do. I just want to go to bed. Is someone here?
Well, dude, think about it, though. Like, you come home drunk. You don't, like.
I was at fucking Red Door. 10 minutes before.
You said that was Saturday or Sunday?
It was Sunday night. Sunday. I was blacked out. I'm pretty sure I still had potato salad in my beard. Like, I was shit canned.
Salad in your beard and a murder in your house.
Yeah, I was fucking trashed.
One of the scariest things that happened to me in Nashville was, so obviously we don't have guns. Well, we have guns back home, right? But it's more like hunting rifles and stuff. Like, I'd never shot a handgun until I moved to America. And we're on De Mumbrun, like on this street right now. And where were we? We were at, I think we were at the old Live Oak watching a soccer game. It was Mexico against USA. And we walked out and we walked past Vibes, that club.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, pop, 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 pop. And I look at my buddy and he's redneck and he's like, that's a gun, by the way. I think we should run. And everybody starts screaming and running. And that Dolly Parton dumpster up there.
Yeah. You know,
we're hiding behind it. And they're going off and going off and going off. And I had no clue what the hell was going on. And then it stopped. And I was like freaking out because I'd never been shot at before. And I hope nobody experiences that as well because it was scary. There was like screaming women and babies and shit. And like you just feel helpless at that moment in time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was silence for like 10 seconds. Everybody just gets up and continues on with their day. I was like, this is the weirdest situation ever. I called my mom and told her, don't ever tell your mom that.
No.
Yeah, so she was petrified.
She probably wanted you to move back to Scotland real quick.
Oh, yeah, she still does. She tries every opportunity. She's like, have you not met a nice European woman yet? I was like, no. They're all American over here.
Did I meet your mom or just meet your dad?
I think you've met my dad a couple times.
He is a sweetheart.
My dad's cool. Everybody likes my dad more than me.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah, you're a piece of shit. no, you're actually, I was telling Brandon this earlier. There's just not, I just don't casually like people. Like, if I like you, I love you. Like, and you're one of those people. Like, even though this is the longest we've got to sit down and, like, talk about everything.
Like, I wasn't sure, because we've only ever spoken, like, the bar setting, you know. Well, so.
But I already knew I liked you. But it's you're just one of those people. It's like, damn, because it's, like, going to see you at Losers, it's not that I just like going to Losers. Like, you're one of the people I enjoy going to listen to and watch
that,
and have a good time with. You're just, you can tell you're a genuinely, like, nice person, too.
And that's
a big thing for me. I've been around enough people that even if you're good, but you're an asshole, I really am not the person that's going to go sit there.
Support you.
Yeah, I'm not. This is not for me.
It's sad because there's a lot of good, really talented people in this town that either are just, like, bullshitters, like, they'll lie, like, through their teeth. Like, don't get me wrong, we've all said lies, but, like, just lie through their teeth or just be a prick. Like, and I'm like, or think they're better than you. And I'm like, dude, we're all doing the same thing here. I think that what this community could be, and I think it's pretty much 90% of the time like that, is quite supportive.
Yeah.
Like, I get asked all the time back home, they're like, oh, it must be really competitive. And I'm like, of course it is, right?
Yeah.
We're all trying to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
But I've never been welcomed into a place more warmly in my life. Yeah. Like, when I moved to Nashville, I came with two bags and one guitar. I didn't know anybody. It was in the middle of COVID. I flew through Mexico, spent 2 weeks in Mexico in quarantine. I was in an all-inclusive resort over spring break, partying my ass off.
That's fire.
And then I moved here, and I just lived here ever since.
Yeah.
And, like, I think if you went to a different part of America, maybe not in the South, or you went to somewhere in Europe, like, it would be way, way more difficult to, like, get a start and meet people.
Here, as much as I bash a lot of this place, like, I just hate the traffic. I hate the dickheads that are here. Like, I really do. And some of the women are the worst people alive. But
I probably know them all then.
Yeah, you probably do. Everybody here is chasing a dream. And I think this is one of the few places in the world to where, like, even if I don't really like you, I can respect that you're doing the same thing I do.
Yep.
Like, and if you're doing it the right way. Where I get upset or I get pissed off with people is if you're not. Like, there's a lot of people that are, like, sneaky,
mm-hmm.
or they're, like, trying to take shortcuts. I don't like the shortcuts with shit. Like, I like I still am one of those people that, like, you got to pay your dues no matter what you
100%.
Do. Like, the more you pay your dues, the more you're going to be, like,
ready for the opportunity when it comes.
Yeah, like, people who try to get there too quick, you're going to be a flash in the pan. It's easy come, easy go. You pay your dues, that's long term.
I've noticed that, too, is, like, because of my visa situation, I genuinely have to work in music to make money. Like, I can't go and get a bar gig or, like, work in a coffee shop or do construction.
Yeah.
So I get that question asked a lot, like, oh, dude, you play all the time. I'm like, well, I physically have to. But I'm like, you're the guy that comes to the bar 5 days a week when I'm playing. You never play any gigs. I don't think you've got a job. How the fuck can you afford to live in Nashville? But they're doing music. And I'm like, no judgment. I know some people's families help them out and stuff and whatever. Like, but it's the hustle that I respect the most. Is like, because I know when an opportunity comes my way, me and my band are ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't get nervous. Okay, I get anxiety sometimes. That's not nerves.
It's
a difference.
Definitely.
Like, I do it. I've played 260 shows a year for the last 3 years, each year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to go. And, okay, it might kill me one day if I know I can't do that forever.
Yeah.
But, like, I it's a respect thing. If I see someone working their ass off and coming in tired one day and going, yeah, man, I'm tired, but I'm coming to support this person or I want to network, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, that's where I get respect for somebody.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the group that I've met through you are all that kind of same vibe as well, and you know, they're all good folks too.
Yeah, I can't be around shitty people. Like, I'm also too, I don't know if you ever heard of, like, the Godfather complex.
Yeah, explain it to me again.
All right, so you, if you want to be the best, you have to surround yourself with the best.
Yes.
And there's got to be like a leader with it. Mm-hmm. And like also too, if you, I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, but like the best kings are the ones that don't want to be king. Like, I don't want to be in the spotlight at all. Like, I'd rather put everybody else in the spotlight. Yeah. And everyone that is with us, nobody wants to be the king. Like, nobody wants to be better than the next. Everybody wants to make the person that's next to them shine brighter than them.
I notice that on your round anytime I've played it or I come and watch, I try and come and watch. I do notice that. It's like, there's some people that are, like, fucking super talented, but they're just the most nice people ever. And you quite often expect the people that are, you know, maybe have done some cool things to be a little bit more egotistical. Yeah. But, like, the group, it's just cool to see. And I think that's what Nashville should be like a little bit more.
Yeah. Those people that are like that, I won't fuck with them. Not being a dick or anything, those people...
I can think of a few names.
Yeah, me too. I can think a lot. Because of where the podcast is ranked and all that kind of stuff in my social media stuff, I get asked by some people to play the show, and they don't understand why I won't let them. And it's just like, I've been around you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do work with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen what you do, and it's not that you're bad. Like, you're good musicians, but you're not nice. I've never said that to certain people, but. Why do I have to give my time to you?
Especially when you know they're probably not appreciating it as
fuck
much.
No.
You know what I mean? They're just doing...
No, this is...
They're like, oh, this is another stepping stone to get to
the
where I need
to be. The second that I think that somebody is just using me... Now, it's one thing if, like, me and you doing this podcast today. If I thought that you were using me, I wouldn't have wanted you on a podcast. Mm-hmm. I think that what you're supposed to do is us working together, like... I'm using you as much as you're using
100%.
Me. 100%. Yeah, it's a joint effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you're supposed to see doing stuff like this.
It's not just transactional.
Yeah. It's like you're supposed to be helping one another.
Yeah.
There are some people that would come in here if I allowed them to, and they would be like, we got 45 minutes. This is what I want to talk about and all this kind of shit. And the second that's 45 minutes are up, they're out that fucking door.
Yeah, and all they're doing is just talking about this and this and them and them and them.
And it's like, you know what? Go to somebody else.
Fuck off.
And the thing is, if I put them on the show, it'd be numbers wise, wonderful. But for me, it'd be like so empty and no depth.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life.
I believe as well, like, I think everybody's got their own kind of program and like, and their vibe. And like, your program is what it is. So if you just bring a random guy in just to try and fluctuate your numbers or, you know, inflate them. People are going to see through that. And I think it's back to authenticity.
Yeah.
Like, I think right now, like, people are sick of fake shit. Like, the news is fake. Everything you see online is kind of fake. People want real shit in the world right now.
They're starving for it, dude.
Have you been on X recently?
Mm-mm. I don't even have X.
Fuck, don't go on that. That is a scary
place.
I've
never had X, Twitter. Never.
Well, because, so Elon Musk, he was obviously going for, like, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But it's... scary place. Like, I'll randomly be in like a public place waiting for a sandwich, you know what I mean, like, and I'll just write him on it. There's like someone getting like decapitated on a video, and you're like in a restaurant, you're like, fuck, it's like a scary place. But people want to be able to speak their truth and what they really feel and be real.
I'm so weird about that, because I do think you're supposed to be able to say whatever you want to, but if you are on a public forum, regardless what the public forum is, there still ought to be like a moral obligation.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of scarred from life after a couple of those videos.
Yeah, there's just certain things, like if a child has access to something.
That's the thing. If you're below like a certain age and you're seeing like.
Yeah, like make it to where, like, it'd be one thing, like if I had it and something like it comes across mine, it might scar me for a little bit, but fuck it.
But we're adults, you know,
But make it where like a child can't fucking have it, and figure out a way to where they 100% can never see it.
Well, I think nowadays, like when I grew up, obviously we were influenced by television shows, and I mean, I had my first phone when I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
It wasn't an iPhone, but we were influenced by certain things. But now, from birth, you know, almost there's a baby with an iPad in the corner of every restaurant, you know, playing games and on YouTube. And a lot of parents don't know how to set up YouTube Kids and all these parameters, so they can see crazy shit from a young age. And no wonder there's so many, like, whatever you want to call them, they, thems, and all these furries and
crazy
all that
shit.
And, like, dude, I don't give a fuck if you are that. Like, good for you. But, like, that's, I do believe that's a big part of, like, why the world's kind of went the way it's went.
Yeah, it's going to hell. 100%. There's been too many options. Like, it's a kid's brain. You're not, like, I can't remember if it's 18 or it's 22. You're not fully developed mature-wise to where, like, you can do your own thinking. Mm-hmm. If you can't get a fucking tattoo until you're 18, you shouldn't be able to view certain shit on social 100%. Media until you're fucking 18.
100%.
You shouldn't be able to make decisions that are going to impact the rest of your fucking life until you're 18.
It's wild out there, man.
When that gender reassignment shit that you can do now as a kid,
I just don't understand it. Like, but that doesn't mean, you know, that's just my opinion. But
I don't think anybody understands it. It doesn't.
Like, I just think, like, again, a lot of people probably jump into it too early. Yep. You know what I mean? And, like, don't get me wrong. Like, when you grow up, it is a kind of interesting place. Like, you do think weird things. You're like, oh, is this the way I, you know?
Yeah.
You know, are you gay? Are you straight? You this? You that? Like, that's normal conversations.
Yeah,
like,
that's natural thought. Like, it's going through very your very natural thought. Yeah.
But, like, it just scares me. Like, I mean, I hope that I have kids one day as well. Yeah. And, like, I don't want to send them off to schools and stuff that they're going to come back and go, hi, Dad, I want to be a girl.
A cat.
Or a cat. Or, like, good for them. Like, if that's what they really wanted to do, I mean, you got to let them
You know what dad would have done? If I'd have came home at 12 years old and said, I want to be a cat, he'd have fucking slapped me with a litter box. He'd have fucking killed me. But I don't care how a kid feels. Like, I don't. I don't mean that in an ugly way. And I don't care, like, once you reach adulthood, whoever you want to love, however you want to view yourself, if you want to transition, that's fine too. I have no problem with that either.
Yeah.
Who you want to love is who you want to love. That's Agreed. Fine. But wait until you're old enough
to make a
decision that's going to impact you for the rest of your life. You know what I wanted to fucking be when I was a kid? A fucking dinosaur. I did. How many times you was like, rah! Like, you want to be a fucking dinosaur? I couldn't be a fucking dinosaur. That's not a logical fucking thing to do. And then I got a little bit older. Then I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'9 on a good day. And I wasn't that great of a high school baseball player. Eventually, I had to understand that was not something that was going to happen for me.
Possible.
Yeah, it's just not something that was going to happen for me. When that became reality, I had to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. That's the same thing with that stuff. Like, when reality sets in and you realize this isn't going to be the rest of my life, you have to figure out what is going to be the rest of your life. You can't let a kid make a decision.
Well, the other thing, like, it's like you can make that at 14, 15, 16, you can have discussions with doctors about doing that, but you have to wait till you're 21 to buy a beer in a bar.
Yeah.
Or buy a gun at certain ages, join the military. Drive a car.
No sense.
It's just a little bit weird. Why is that the forefront? That's the only thing is, like, why has it become the forefront of everything? Like, I could not give two shits if you want to be, like, if you turn around today and you're like, hey, I'm going by Georgia tomorrow. Like, that's my name now. Like, you're, and you're like, cool, good for you, dude. Like, absolutely. I love you anyway. Like, I've got no
same thing
blood, but I'm just like, why is the whole world just obsessed with that right now?
Because overeducated white women said it was cool. I'm
you
serious.
Think so?
I hate them. I said earlier, I hate the poor whites and overeducated white women. They think they know the best for the rest of the fucking world. At some point in time, somebody told them they could be whatever they wanted to be, and they took it way too goddamn far.
I think now there's been, like, a sense of, like, people are like, this is a fucking joke now. Let's figure it out.
That's what it's turning back into now.
But, like, and I think it's kind of, we're getting a little bit back to, like, what it should be, but I just don't, like, I think COVID fucked everything up for people. Like, the amount of people that sent crazy.
COVID mindfucked everybody. I think what COVID was, it was such a mindfuck to where everybody got so lost in themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That it took this long for everybody to come out of their own little personal prison. And now that everybody's back out in the real world and they're realizing, oh, we let it get that far gone. Like, no, we got to reel this shit back in.
I'll never forget, like, in Scotland, lockdown pretty tough. Like, you were only allowed out once a week to the grocery store. Like, they policed it and shit. It was weird. But you would go out, like, one day. You get an hour of exercise a day. They allowed you to go out. So we'd go out with my mom and dad walking. And people would... I wouldn't wear a mask, right? But, like, you're outside. There'd be people wearing masks on the sidewalk. And one of them, they would just completely turn around and face a wall so you could walk past them. I'm like, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, all this weird shit happened. I think it sent so many people, I think, like, it did. Clinically insane.
I think it really fucked people.
My mom... I know she kind of struggled with it a little bit because she's quite a social person.
Yeah.
And just, like, been locked in all the time. Like, Scotland was shit. And
yeah, it's definitely... We're still seeing repercussions from it. Well, I guess...
Did you get the vaccine?
No. Fuck no.
I had to get it so I could travel.
Oh, did you?
But I think one of my good mates back home, Marcus, like my best friend, 20 years, he got diabetes, like, shortly after getting the vaccine. And he said... that when he went to the doctors, like, he almost died. He had, like, his pancreas was fucked. And they were like, they reckon it was because of the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, but I didn't get it for a different reason than most people think. I didn't get it. It wasn't like I was bucking the system or anything like that. I was not getting it because pretty much you don't know what the side effects after 5 years are going to be. Like, everything's tested. Like, any vaccine ever throughout time has been tested, and then there's a process to where
you
see 5 years to 10 years from now the side effects and what it's long-term shit. Mm-hmm. There was no testing process. I don't know what the fucking shit. I didn't let my daughter do it. Like, we booked the school system for it and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't getting it.
Yeah. I mean, I got COVID once.
I did get it four times.
I was on my way to the airport, like, literally putting my bags in the car, leaving to come back over here. And the doctor's office called. They were like, "Hey, Mr. Andrucci, just to let you know, your test came back positive." I'm like, "Haha, you're joking," because I felt totally fine. She's like, "No, you're gonna have to cancel your flight." I was like, "Fuck!" So I changed my flight, came home, and I was like, "This is bullshit." I went out at, like, a 5 kilometer run, like, feeling good, back doing push-ups and shit. Went for a shower, dude. That's when it all hit me, like, all at once. I was, like, drained. I couldn't move. It was pretty bad. I mean, like, some people didn't get it bad. But I was exhausted.
I was still working in radio, and this was right before the lockdown. I got it. I remember still being on air, and I just started pouring. I'm talking about just sweating like I've never sweated before. And
like Hastings AC right
now.
Like,
yeah. And I ended up leaving and going home and just got in bed. And I went the next day because I thought I was dying. Like, I thought something bad was wrong with me.
I think my breathing's never... I've got asthma as a kid. Yeah, like, from a kid.
I did too.
I don't think my breathing's ever recovered from having COVID. Like, I notice it when I sing now. Yeah. I've got to take, like, a huge, bigger breath.
I get that every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in bed. I was sick for, like, 12 days. Like, but they literally didn't say, like, COVID. It wasn't COVID yet.
Yeah, but you knew it was, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, they haven't even said... COVID was a thing yet.
Okay.
It was like before the lockdown, before everything.
So you were like patient X.
Yeah, I was like one of the first people that got like super fucking sick because I went and got like the flu test. No flu, no nothing. They was like, "I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you, but you're sick as fuck."
Yeah.
So like 12 days. I was sick as fuck for like 12
That's
days.
That's terrible, man.
It was fucking hard.
But don't get me wrong, like for the most part, it was a pretty just like the flu, right? But then it was scary, though. Like, you would just hear randomly, like, somebody's fucking dad died. And I'm like, Jesus, like, what the hell? I mean, a lot of it was underlying health issues. But that was a crazy time, COVID. But I think it was kind of like a blessing in disguise for me because I think if I'd have moved before COVID, I was probably really naive to, like, this whole thing, like, what Nashville was.
Well, if it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't have this job.
Well,
I got fired during COVID from radio.
Yeah.
Well, it's also because I said some shit on radio. But I got fired during COVID.
You pour me one?
Yeah, pour us both one. I got fired during COVID, and then...
What did you say? Are you allowed to repeat it?
Yeah, I can repeat it. When NASCAR banned the Confederate flag...
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about that.
I don't support the Confederate flag.
Uh-huh.
I have a bunch of friends that are of African-American descent, and I've always thought that the Confederate flag was stupid, to be honest with you. Like, never got it. And my dad has a Confederate flag tattoo. Mm-hmm. So, like, I stood up for... There's a lot of people calling in and bitching to the radio station that day. And, like, I had the number one radio show for, like, morning time in the state of Georgia at the time. And there were people calling in, it was like bitching and raising hell about it, wanting me to play like certain songs or whatever.
And David Allen Coe and shit.
Yeah, support this shit. Rawr. And I like gave them the rundown of why I didn't. And also was like trying to educate them on certain shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, y'all are just not seeing this, that like once something is adopted as a symbol of hate, it's always going to be a fucking symbol of hate.
Well, it's like the swastika. The swastika wasn't really a symbol of hate until it became a symbol of hate.
It was a symbol of peace in the Middle East or whatever. Then Hitler got a hold of it.
Yeah.
But you don't give a fuck about it. It was before.
Exactly.
You'll never see it as anything
but
a symbol.
But it's changed now. Yeah, it's tainted.
Yeah, so like, and that's what I was trying to tell these people. Well, a group that is, like, they're called, like, the Sons of Confederacy or some shit. Called, gave death threats and shit and everything.
Oh, shit, yeah, I've read about them, actually.
Yeah, I ain't fucking more big mad at me. And anyway, so I got fired. Well, when I got fired, I got fired on my birthday, which is crazy. I fired on my birthday, but I had a concert that night that I was hosting for my birthday. Jacob Bryant was playing it for me. Mm-hmm. After that party for my birthday down at Kerrigan's, I left and I went to a poker house in Jacksonville, Florida. Played poker for like 2 or 3 days. And there was a guy that I was playing poker with one of the days, and he was from iHeartRadio, but he never told me he was with iHeartRadio. Never fucking let on that he was with iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. Was telling my story and everything or whatever. Kind of get to the point to where it's like last little bit of the tournament, and we're drunk or whatever. And he was like, what are you going to do next? And I was like, well, probably just going to apply for a job in Atlanta or Savannah or whatever. I don't really want to, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just letting you know, podcasts are the next big thing. Terrestrial radio is dead. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, why you say that? And he's like, well, I'm with iHeartRadio. He said, if you start your own podcast, right out the gate, I'll put you on a playlist. And I thought dude was full of shit. Gave me his card. And sure enough, between the huge following that I had from the radio station, within a month's time, I started a podcast. And I messaged the guy. I can't even tell you the dude's name now. It's been so damn long ago, and we really only had those two discussions. He put me on a fucking playlist with iHeartRadio.
Wow.
Like, fucking same
Man,
day.
There's still some good people out there, I think, in the world. And I think there's more. There's actually more than you think. You know what I mean? And it's always refreshing when you get to hear a story like that.
Yeah, dude.
Because that's just so, like, whether you believe in God or not, that's just so, like, something happened and then someone was sent to you there, you know?
Well, this is even crazier about the whole thing. When I got fired, I was literally in the tattoo chair, like on my birthday, right? I had been wanting to get God's armor, this piece I've got like right here tattooed on me for like 12 years. Mm-hmm. And that was the birthday I started getting this tattooed on me. So as I'm in the tattoo chair, I get a call from my program director and he's like telling me why. And he was upset that he was having to fire me.
Yeah.
Love you, but, Skills. Love you.
But it was above him, yeah.
Yeah, it was above him. But it was just like, it was a full circle thing. It was like, I'm literally getting God's armor tattooed on me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was upset because it was like my dream job. And end up 2 days later, a guy from iHeartRadio is like, I got you. Don't worry about it. And now 5 years later, I'm sitting here.
Doing what you probably really want to do.
Oh, I love this shit.
Like, there's no
this
rules.
This is way
man.
Fucking better. This is way better.
You're your own boss, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I make way more money. And I get to be around folks like you and get to do my own thing. And
God works in an interesting way sometimes, doesn't he?
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, God will let you go through hell just so you know what heaven's worth.
Someone's got to write that song if nobody's done it yet.
Well, that's my line I keep saying. I've said that shit for years. It's something I came up with. So, yeah.
Well, we'll give you 10%.
Well, you know, I'll be all right with you. but, no, yeah, that's it, man, sometimes you got to. I mean,
I love that. I've not heard that before.
Yeah,
seriously.
I mean, your story doesn't make sense without the bad days.
Back to what we're talking about. Yeah, it's and quite often there's more bad days than good, and that, at times, and it's okay to feel like you're going through hell. You know what I mean? Because like, all it takes is. I do believe like the vibration thing, like energy is like a huge thing. Like if you're negative all the time and like, oh, everything's going wrong for me, the universe or God, whatever you want to believe in, isn't gonna put the positive things in it because you're giving off negative vibrations.
Well, to make yourself feel even more positive, look at it like this too, because this is my mindset, especially over like the past year. Your good days don't teach you shit.
No.
your bad days is probably what's made you the person that you are now.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when you start thinking about that, like, you really stop hating the valley. It doesn't bother you anymore. Mm-hmm. The bad days is really to start being like, eh.
Okay, this is what I'll do differently this time. Or yeah, I'll learn this from that.
I just really don't think I have failures anymore. I think I have learning experiences.
But that just shows you how positive you talk about your like mindset now, like how your mindset is. And I love that because like, fuck, every shit goes wrong. Shit, it's just life. That's can't stress about every single piece of the life that you're living.
Well, dude, it's like if I get up from this table right now and I fucking stump my toe on the end of this table and I decide to throw a bitch fit and I throw my hands up in the air and I hit my elbow on the end of that fucking chair over there because I threw a bitch fit because I was negative from the first incident. I just made a bad situation worse.
Worse, yeah.
Never in the history of mankind as being in a negative situation, acting negative made it positive.
No.
Why wouldn't you just go ahead and make your mindset to where it's like, oh, I hit my toe. Shit.
Yeah, it's move sore. On. Let's just move on.
Let's just move on. Just if you're negative, if you're in a negative situation, just try to make it positive.
And I think like that's a good analogy, the toe thing, but that relates to like everything in life.
Yeah.
Like, even I've started to not get pissed off as much in the car when I'm driving.
Yeah.
But the drivers here are terrible. And quite often I'm like, motherfucker. And I'm like, dude, that's just because I've had a bit of a shitty day, shitty morning this morning. I'm on my way to write a song for a living. Like, I'm like, it's all good, buddy. And just drive on. I'm like.
Well, see, if you even did that, like if you got negative by how shitty a driver was, there's a good chance you're focused on being negative and you might have missed something that would have led to you writing a song that
day. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Whereas I'm like, oh, whatever, buddy, go on in there. Yeah. You've cleared your head. You're feeling okay. You write a decent song, you know?
Everything with your mindset is just perspective. Like you only get pissed off if you allow the world to piss you off.
It took me a while to like get my head into that space because like, I don't know, like, I never really had like bad days. I never thought I did until the older I got. I just wasn't an adult yet and actually like
that's probably what it is.
Fending for myself.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
But like it wasn't until I was maybe like 20, like after college. My last year at college was the first time I was like, well, I don't feel like I'm not really in the best mindset here. And I started reading into some stuff and I was like thinking I was fucked up, but it was just normal shit, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's a little fucked up.
And once I learned how to like better my or do a little bit better, it completely changed my life because like, you know, just be grateful. Like sometimes, like even on a shit day, you wake up and you go walk outside and there's a blue sky and you go,
it literally is what you make it, man. I mean, it's
like what's again success, gratitude, what is all these things like?
It's what you make it.
Life ain't so bad when you just appreciate it, you know.
It abso-fucking-lutely. And that's a cheers. Here you go, buddy.
Cheers to that, buddy.
Thank you for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Deep Eddie Lemon. Love it. Thank you for being a sponsor. Tell them where they can find you on social media and we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, you can find me all at Chris A. Music Official. All my stuff's up there. Show schedules, pictures, videos, new songs. So, yeah, it's going to be a good year. Josh, thanks for having me, man.
Anytime, Bubba. We'll have you back soon. And, y'all, don't fucking miss this guy. Go see him at Losers. See him wherever he's playing. It's one of my favorite to watch in Nashville. And we'll see you guys next time we're back in Nashville. Love y'all. Thank y'all for listening this week.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.